It's a good day for you to be here. It's a good day for me to be here as we come and we're here today to celebrate, to worship and celebrate the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord. It's just a great opportunity to do that. It's kind of interesting that yesterday was Passover. Today is Easter or Pesach. And that doesn't always happen that way, but for this year it did. And there's a great connection between Passover and Easter. If you hadn't, I was able to write an article for the paper this week. I don't know if you read it or not, but it deals with Passover and Easter. So you might want to grab a paper and read that. Okay, today we're celebrating. I don't really want to be preachy today, but I am a teacher, so I kind of do that. But we're going to talk about the exchanged life, or we could call it the doctrine of identification. But we're going to look at it, and we're going to celebrate something that's really neat. You know, we say that we come together to we celebrate the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord. But listen, even more than that, we're celebrating, guess what? Our death. Our crucifixion, our death, our burial, and our resurrection from the dead also. And so we're going to look at some verses of Scripture today, and I want us to just look at this as a time that we can just celebrate these things together. But we need to see it from the Word of God. Don't believe it because I say it. It comes out of the Word of God. And listen, we didn't identify with God. We couldn't. Because we'd sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Also says that the wages of sin is death. So we had no grounds to identify with God. We had no right to call on God. We had no right to pray to God. We had no standing with God. We were hopelessly lost. We could not identify with God. That's why God, out of His grace, decided that He would identify with us. And He did that by becoming man, God in the flesh. And He came and He identified with us in every point. The Bible says He emptied Himself of His power. He emptied Himself of all of those things and He became a man. But He was God. He was God in the flesh. And He was tempted in every way that we're tempted. And the Bible says, yet without sin. He didn't sin one time. If He'd have sinned one time, guess what? We would have no connection with God whatsoever. See, all of this points to Jesus, but Jesus was identifying with us. He was reaching out to us. He was going to exchange something for us. And we're going to look at these things today. We're going to look at them from the Scripture. We're going to begin in Romans 5:17. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam. Say, yay, Adam. Caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. Now, I love this. His grace. Now, the word grace means unmerited favor. God using His power on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it. And it says the gift, not something that we earn. It's a gift of righteousness or right standing with God. The gift of righteousness for all who receive it. It doesn't just happen. Listen, we have to receive it. So for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yay, Jesus. Yes. So we see that in Adam all die, but in Christ we can all have life. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm going to read the first phrase of this verse, and it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Guess what? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, so was I. He was identifying with me. What was He identifying with? My guilty sentence, The wages of sin is death. The condemnation that comes on our lives because we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It came on us and we couldn't pay the price. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. But guess what? He paid a debt he did not owe. And this is what we're talking about here. I was guilty. The old Southern gospel song, I love that old song. I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away. Then a voice from heaven was heard, and it said, "Let him go, take me instead." I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. I was crucified with Christ. He was not crucified for himself. He was not crucified for his sin. He was crucified for my sin. He was crucified for your sin. I don't know who said this. I wish it me. But if you had been the only person who had ever sinned, that Jesus would have come and died just for you. That's how personal this thing is. Now, we must receive it. We must receive it. Then the second thing that we see in this is Romans 6:8. And it says this. Now, we're going to come back to the one I didn't finish. And it says this, "And since we died with Christ, we know we shall also live with Him." So listen, I was crucified with Christ. When He was crucified, I was crucified. When He died, guess what? I died also. Now, what died? That old man. That old man of sin died when Jesus died on the cross. What are we doing? We are identifying. We are making a connection. We're really, God is making a connection with our guilt, with our sin. He's making a connection with that because He wants to do something very significant in our lives. And since we died with Him, we know that we will also live with Him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Since we have been raised to new life with Christ." There's another statement there. Listen, I was crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. And guess what? When Jesus was raised from dead, what? We were raised from dead also. Isn't that great? Give God praise for that. We're celebrating this today. We're not only celebrating what he did, we're celebrating what He did for us. And His death, our death, my crucifixion, His crucifixion. It says, "Since we have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." See, Jesus completed that work, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You know what He's doing? He's interceding for me and you, because you know why? We need it. We still need it. Christians are not perfect. I got news for you today. Christians are not perfect. If you're looking for somebody to be perfect, you're not perfect, so quit looking for somebody else to be perfect. And Jesus is sitting up there next to the Father and says, "We sin." Jesus said, "Father, I've covered that." He's confessed it. It's covered. He intercedes on our behalf. He is our advocate. He is our lawyer in the heavenly places. And listen, He is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Now let's go back to Galatians 2:20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live." Talking about my old man no longer lives. I no longer live. But Christ, excuse me, lives in me. If you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it says that your old man is dead. It's gone. You're dead. And now Christ lives in us. See, a lot of people just want to pray a prayer and get their sins forgiven. But God has bigger ideas than that. He has something bigger in mind for your life than just forgiving your sins. See, when Adam sinned, he turned his back on God. He became separated from God. The purposes that God put in his heart were thwarted. Jesus comes back to restore us, not only to forgive us, but to restore us to the grace and to the purpose that God planned for us. God has a plan. I say this all the time, but I want you to get it. I want you to get it down in your gizzard. I want you to understand it. I want you to grasp it. I want you to live in it. I want you to walk in it, because God has something He wants to do with your life that's significant. And it's personally designed for you. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave His life for me. Say, for me. Jesus died for me. Say that again. Jesus died for me. He died for me. He gave His life for me. Ephesians 2, 5 says that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. So guess what? When Jesus was raised, I was raised. But you know what? I wasn't even born then. I wasn't even thought of. That was over 2,000 years ago that I was raised from the dead. I was in the heart of the Father God. When Jesus hung on the cross, I was in the heart of the Father God. And He knew that I would come along, and He said, I'm going to include Him. He said, I'm going to include you. He included mankind. He paid for the sins of the world. Don't you see that there's a lot of sin in the world? Just look out there. It's out there. All kinds of crazy stuff going on. Jesus paid a price to forgive everything that's going on in our world. And listen, if we'll turn to Him and receive Him, He can forgive that, because He raised us from the dead when He raised up Christ. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's God's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God's using His power on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. What do we deserve? Crucified. Condemned. Eternal prison. God says, that's not what I want, though. God says, I want them to be with me. And therefore, I'm going to become flesh, and I'm going to take their pain. I'm going to die for their in their place. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to suffer their death. But listen, when I'm raised, I'm raising them with me, because I've got something I want to do in their lives. For by grace, only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and listen, and seated us with Him in heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. He didn't just leave us to wallow in our past. He didn't leave us to just wallow in the life of sin. He says, I'm going to raise them up above that, and I'm going to seat them with me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is a good place to be. He identified so that we can identify with. He identified with our crud. He identified with our sin so that we could identify with His glory. Man. You know what? We sin because we choose to. You don't have to sin. We sin because we choose to. Now, I know we're tempted, but we have to make the choice to sin. That's how powerful the blood was. It broke the power where sin over our life, where we were addicted to that. Listen, we have been freed from the power of sin. And we are empowered by the resurrection to walk in righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. We're empowered by that resurrection, and we can walk in that gift of righteousness, that right standing with God. See, this is God's way for us to overcome sin and find victory in our lives. God wants you to be victorious, and that's why He came. That's why He suffered. That's why He died. That's why He was buried. That's why He was separated from God. That's why He's raised from the dead, so that we can have all things that He wants to give us. I'm going to close with this, Romans 6. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have an enemy out there that tempts you to go back to your old life. It's like he's trying to raise your old man. But this says to count. Now that word, the King James, it says reckon, which is an accounting term. You know, where you reconcile something. You reconcile it to this. He says, reckon or count yourselves dead to sin. When that temptation comes against you, say, no. That old man's dead. You have no power over me. I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is my victory. Amen. Glory to God. I think of two characters in the Bible that we saw a big transformation in. The one of them was Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. He was a very religious, a very devout Pharisee, very critical, judgmental. He hated the church. He hated Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus. And he was persecuting the church. He was voting against them so that they could be imprisoned or executed. And on the road to Damascus, he was on the way to persecute the church and put them in jail. He had an experience with Jesus. And even though that Jesus paid it all, see, Paul was brought to life when Jesus was raised from the dead. But it didn't happen in his life until he received it. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus transformed his life. And Saul of Tarsus, it's interesting that he changed his name. Saul of Tarsus became the great Apostle Paul. Gave us 2/3 of the New Testament. Then I think about Peter. Old impetuous Peter. He was a follower of Jesus. He bumbled and stumbled and he was rougher than a corn cob. Foot and mouth. I mean, he was always sticking his foot in his mouth. He rebuked Jesus one time. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." He called him the devil. "You devil, get behind me." And it was at the crucifixion that 3 times Peter denied Christ. On the final time, it says, "I do not know. I have never known him. I do not know him." When I read that in the Bible, I thought, how can you say that? You saw him. He loved you. You knew him. You saw what he's done. You've seen his miracles. How could you ever say, "I do not know him"? And he cursed. And guess what? We saw his encounter with Jesus and a transformed life. He became the pillar of the church. He became very influential in the early Christian movement. Was a pastor. And eventually was crucified upside down. Peter, dead in his sin, but alive in Christ. I want you to watch this skit, and then we'll be back to close the service.
Thank you. gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him as all I had. Back at the house and the guilt hangs came. If not Tim just had to make, when I came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide, and I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Alive. Amen. What a beautiful message today. A beautiful message of a beautiful exchange. See, the Bible says that we have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. One thing that I saw today was a picture of exchange for my sin for that grace. My sin for His righteousness, that right standing with God. I'll never forget that day. Never forget it. See, I was not just the guy that denied him. I was the guy that cussed him. I was the guy that said everything against him I could. The day we buried my mom, I'll never forget, I didn't kneel down and pray to God. I knelt down and cussed him. I said everything you could think of against him. But then one day I saw that exchange. I saw that cross. And I saw the love that was poured out for me. And I realized that there was forgiveness. I realized that there was something that could happen inside of me that only he could do. Each of us have to come to a place in our life where we make a choice. We make a conscious choice to choose Christ. We have to come to that place. You know why? Because by not choosing, we've already made a choice. So why would we not choose a loving, merciful God who's defeated death? Anything that comes before him, he's already beat it. When he said it is finished, it is finished. It's done. It's done. Everybody bow your heads for me for a minute. Father God, we love you. Father, we thank you today for that love. We thank you for that goodness, Lord God. We thank you that when we come to that throne, it's in view of that mercy. Lord God, if there's anyone in this room today that doesn't know your son personally, Father, I just ask you today to give them the courage to step out, to say, here I am, Jesus, because that's what you said for us when you came out of that tomb. You said, here I am. You sit at the right hand of the Father interceding today for your children. If there's anyone in the room today, Father, I thank you that you draw them with your goodness. With your goodness. Today is your opportunity. Keep your heads bowed for me. Today is your chance to accept a loving God. To accept a grace by faith. Because that's the only way that we can be saved. So today, why would you not choose Jesus? Why would you not settle it today and exchange your sin for his righteousness? Is there anyone in the room today that needs to make that choice? Will you raise your hand for me? Anyone that wants to accept Jesus today as Lord and Savior? Thank you. Thank you. See, there's hands going up around the room because God's goodness is in the room today and he's drawing you with his love. He's drawing you with his love. Is there anyone else in the room today? I want you to know it doesn't thank you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. He did what he did for you out of love. See, today's a special day in my house. Not just because we celebrate a risen king, but because we celebrate my youngest child's birthday today. 5 years ago today, she accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She made a choice to choose Jesus. Before we start this next worship song, I'll say, is there anyone else in the room? Slip your hand up for me. Anyone else? See, today, the ball is in your court now. Jesus has done his part. So today, if that's you, thank you. If that's you today, when we stand to worship, I want to ask you to come forward and let one of these people pray with you. Here's where you put that faith into action, and you just simply step out and come forward and say, I want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's a refreshing time. It's a renewing time. It's a time you'll never forget. So as we worship today, if you were one of those, whether you raised your hand or not, I want you to take that step of faith and walk forward and let one of these people pray with you as we worship.